this morning. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you because we just appreciate all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you that this is the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And so as we gather here together, looking for you to speak to us, knowing that you have a word for us, we say thank you. We appreciate your presence, and we are so grateful for all that you do for us each and every day. And let your word go forth strongly, penetrating our hearts, strengthening us to be who you have called us to be, your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And today, our scripture is from Proverbs 4, chapter 23. Did I say that right? Let me start again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And that verse says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And today, I was inspired to do a part two from when our time was together the other week. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. How do we experience it? Guard your heart. And I think it is amazing that we are acknowledging that this is Heart Awareness Month. But not only that, it is Black History Month as well. So as spiritual beings having a human experience, I'm going to show you some of the ways, another way that we can continue forward in that. A little bit about the heart. The heart is one of the most important organs, and it's responsible for sustaining life. It is a muscular organ, and it has four chambers: left ventricle, right ventricle, left atrium, right atrium. Four. And the heart is about the size of a human fist. Seems like it would be bigger, doesn't it? But it is a human clenched fist. And the heart functions through a person's lifetime and is one of the hardest working organs in the human body. Heart is working, most resilient. Can't live without it. So what happens when we as spiritual beings having a human experience have issues of the heart? We can have what's called a heart attack. And a heart attack happens when the heart muscle can't get the oxygen and nutrients it needs to function properly. And it's important to know, and I'm just giving you a little background about the heart. It's important to know that every heart attack is different. The same way each one of us, we're all different, our hearts are different. So whenever we have illnesses or conflicts with the heart, it will be affected differently. And the other thing is most heart attacks start slowly with mild pain and a discomfort in the chest. This is a little bit about what happens whenever we have heart attacks or if someone has a heart attack. There may also be discomfort in the arms, neck, back, jaw, and stomach. Other symptoms include shortness of breath, nausea, lightheadedness. This is how it feels when one or more of the arteries carrying blood to the heart is narrowed or blocked. Now, I knew that heart disease was, major, but I didn't realize how much we are impacted by heart disease in the world. But in June 2021, heart disease had killed or was killed in the month of June 2,101 people. Right after that, cancer 1,614, accidents 475, strokes 451. I'm going to jump down and say, believe it or not, the seventh cause of death was COVID. I thought it would have been a little bit more, But when we look at the broader cause of death in America, the number one leading reason for death is heart disease. Something having to do with the heart, and the other one is cancer, third to COVID. So why do we guard our heart? We guard our heart because it says here that one person dies every 36 seconds from cardiovascular disease. That's a lot. So if we just paused and count 1, 2, 3, 4, and count to 36 seconds, somebody passed away with heart disease. That is something that we really want to think about. That's why it's so important for us to guard our heart. Also, one in every four deaths end in heart disease. So how can we, with more awareness of the heart, take care of ourselves and be more prepared? We want to eat healthy, be active, whatever activity means for you. Get some sleep and get rest. We can be the Energizer Bunny and doing, as I've heard this before, burning the candle from both ends. This isn't good for our heart. Stay at a healthy weight. Quit smoking and avoiding secondhand smoke. Control cholesterol, blood pressure. You can have a drink here and there, but only in moderation. But most of all, too, I think it's important, probably should be higher, manage stress. So how important is the heart when we think about it? The heart is a central organ to our body. But not only that, when we go to the word, I thought about the word heart. How many times is the word heart used in the Bible? 826 times. I was like, wow. So those of you who have your hearts, did you guys get a heart? Do y'all have a heart this morning? We have some hearts here this morning. And y'all know how I like the object lessons. And Jerry, do you have a heart? We all have hearts this morning. You can choose whichever one you want, okay? We have hearts this morning, red and white hearts. And the heart is here for us to remember the heart of the matter. And on the back, on the front, it's kind of decorated with little wobbly lines. On the back is plain. I would like for you to take your heart home, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word for your heart. You may want to use Proverbs 4 and 23. Guard your heart with all diligence. Or, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there are a lot of scriptures, obviously, possibly 826 ones, where we can have a word and just write your inspiration, your word, on the back of this card, or just hold it. And, you know, put it somewhere when you see it. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. So that's what we have the hearts for this morning, however you choose to use it. Helen Keller says, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even heard, but they must be felt in the heart. So the heart is truly an important thing for us. And I like this scripture. And so how can we connect with this scripture more? Listen to the different ways the scripture has been translated here. Above all else, watch over your heart. Diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart comes the good and noble things in life. Another way of saying keep watch over your heart, it's where life starts. Guard your heart above all else. I like this. For it determines the course of your life. And the King James Version, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How many of us have had an issue or two in our life? I thought it came from somewhere else, but the word said it came out of the heart. So, what are some of the ways that we can guard our heart? Number one, memory. Remember, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Remember, y'all, last time I was here, I told y'all that 1%. Have y'all been working on that 1%? 1% makes all of the difference. It's not, I thought about that 1% that the Holy Spirit shared, and then I thought about what Paul said. Every day I have to wrestle to kill the flesh. Ooh-wee. I didn't like WWE wrestling, so that's not my favorite sport, so I don't want to wrestle with myself or wrestle with anybody else. Wrestle with the flesh. And then the Holy Spirit says, that's good. Just work at 1%. Doesn't that seem a little bit easier than wrestling? I got to remind myself, don't be angry, don't do this, don't do that. It ends up being a whole bunch of don'ts. And I'm going to wrestle with some of these things. Just focus on the one thing that's good. Instead of thinking about, I can go with 1%. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And even if a situation does come up, how can I respond differently, spiritually, 1%? Y'all remember that song, 99 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do. Whew, that seemed like a lot, don't it? I'm going to go with 1%. You know, it's up to us how we do the journey. I'm trying to unlearn some things that I've learned. I'm learning 1% is a whole lot easier for me to accomplish than a whole 100. I got to figure out 100 things to do, be inspired to do 100 positive things. Ooh, mercy. That's too much. 1%. Just what one good thing a day can I do and keep doing it? That's how we are, and we are reminded of being spiritual beings having a human experience. Don't take much, 1%. Everybody say it, don't take much, 1%. Look at somebody say, what? I like the number one, what? 1%. Because, okay, let's think about it. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. I can't see your heart beating. As I look, I can't see my heart beating. Can you see your heart beating? We can't see our heartbeat. That is a spiritual experience. I don't tell my body how to function. I be like, oh, breathe, Katie. I just breathe. That is a spirit. That's the spirit part of us reminding us. Sometimes I forget to eat. I do. I hadn't figured out how I did that yet, but I guess I wouldn't listen to the Spirit. But what I'm saying is, if we think about all of the things in our lives, especially our body, which is a physical experience, is still being guided by the Spirit. Like our sister said this morning, our Father woke us up this morning and started us on our way, keeps us safe. whether we remember to thank him or not, whatever situation may be, pop up from a bad dream and go on, spirit woke us up from the bad dream. So we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So this week, I would like to invite you to think of more ways in our physical human experience that is really more spiritual when we think about it. I can't see a thought. I don't know what any of y'all are thinking right now. Why? I can't see your thought. All those things that are invisible, that's spiritual. Another way we can remember that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. You can associate these with the four chambers of the heart. I said this before, but I'm one of those people who learn by repetition. Spiritual beings having a human experience, guarding our heart with all diligence. How do we do it? For the four chambers of the heart, we have four agreements that we can make. Remember, be impeccable with your words. Make your words impeccable. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. And always do your best. And let me ask you that. What's physical about that? You can't see the words that are coming out of my mouth. Depending on how I'm saying, you may not even understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. Don't take things personally. Again, we can't see a thought. So I don't know what you're thinking. All I see how your face is looking. But I still don't know whether you have been moved, inspired, aggravated, annoyed, or just confused. Because even a confused look, that's when people are getting it. So it's about our perceptions, which is don't make assumptions. I love these four agreements, four for each part of the heart. Always do your best. Never, and I don't like to use the word never, never let anybody tell you what your best is. Okay? When you start beating my heart and regulate my body, then you can tell me what my best is. And we can have a discussion about it. Okay. And next, the F word. Don't hear it very much. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift to whose heart? Your heart. My heart. If I am going to be that 1% more spiritual, strong-minded person, it is going to take forgiveness for this to happen. What does forgiveness look like? Okay. Just take, I'm going to go into detail about this again, but I would like to give you, and I'll give you time to write it down because I didn't make a slide for it. But there are five steps to forgiveness, just a way to forgive yourself, others, life, whatever the case may be. And this is a prayer that I learned that I love to use. And it's very simple. It says, I love you. Sometimes it may be a situation where you don't love the person, but we can, you know, navigate that first one. I love you. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. If you're not loving them, you should know the truth. And the truth should set you free. I'm having a hard time loving you for what you did. But I am going to do this for my heart. Because if I don't want to have a heart attack, I have to manage my stress. And I can't allow this situation to consume me. Have you ever been in a situation you can feel your heart constrict? You can feel your body tighten up. I may not be able to say I love you right now, but what I'm going to do for my heart and for my health, spiritually and physically, I forgive you. I forgive you. Or either we ask for forgiveness. I apologize. And thank you. Sometimes whenever we ask for forgiveness or someone asks us for forgiveness, we forget to say thank you. I know you did. I apologize, I'm sorry. People say I'm sorry. And have you ever heard people, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Does it tell us anywhere in scripture to say I'm sorry? I should have Googled it. I didn't think about it. But how many times does the Bible say I'm sorry? But it does say forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our transgression as we forgive those who transgress against us or trespass. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Nowhere does it say, or I don't recall Jesus saying, say I'm sorry. I remember an adult telling me, tell him you're sorry. And you can just be doing something, mind your own business. Somebody's standing by, you knock your cup over and they tell you, oh, I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? I knocked my cup over. What if we take out, I'm sorry. Because actually that's like taking the name of God in vain. I believe and I am more aware of what I'm saying I am too. So in a way that's like on the edge of consciousness and things that make you go, remember God says my name is I am that I am. So what is that? How is God sorry? I'm sorry. No, you're not. So play it over. You knock over your cup or you break something, the person's there, and they look at you and say, oh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me for you knocking over this. Oh, forgive me. Do you see the difference? Sincere apology is, I apologize. Please forgive me. That is another being transformed by the renewing of our minds, unlearning what we have learned. Because whenever you, I do not even know where I'm sorry transformed, where it came from, its origin. Maybe somebody who was trying to, you know, dip around the issue. No, you messed up. You know, you really need to get that person to forgive you. What's another way I can say, please forgive me? I'm sorry. I don't really care whether you forgive me or not. I'm not really asking for your forgiveness. I'm sorry. And the worst thing that you can hear in response is, I know you are. That's why you don't say you sorry. Because you know you're not, okay? But we can be very apologetic, and we can be remorseful, and we can be regretful, and we're trying to take responsibility, not blame or find fault. That's another conversation altogether. But I take responsibility. I know it's my fault. I'm to blame. Not in Christ Jesus, we don't. I will take responsibility for that. Because if I can blame myself this time, that means I can blame you the next time. I can find fault in myself this time. But next time, I might be able to find fault in you. So, subtle difference, slight shift. I take responsibility for what I did. And I apologize for how my choice caused this situation to become what it is. And now we have to figure out how to get back. I love you. I apologize. Please forgive me. And remember to say thank you. Because why forgiveness is a gift to the heart. Our topic is called the heart of the matter. I forgot to introduce it. That's what the series is called, The Heart of the Matter. And the heart of the matter, Back in the day, Don Henley, the Eagles, had a song out that I really liked, and it was called The Heart of the Matter. And I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore. So when we get down to the heart of the matter, especially us being spiritual beings having a human experience, the heart of the matter, start forgiving. And as we get ready to wrap up, the next thing is, how can we do it? No slide. But how can we practice forgiveness? How can we become 1% more spiritual? This is a personal experience. And it's called the forgiveness diet. So for 7 days, how many times are we supposed to forgive a person in the Bible? 70 times seven. Tangled up coming out. So for 7 days, write 70 times those things the Spirit brings up for you to forgive. So if you decide to start today, from today to next Sunday, just write on in your journal, in your notebook, 70 things that the Holy Spirit brings up for you that requires forgiveness. That's the 7-day forgiveness diet. And we're doing what the word says. 70 times, 7 days. And start back. The Holy Spirit, you'd be surprised what'll come up for you. I've done the forgiveness diet several times. It really is wonderful in clearing out emotional, mental, whatever kind of blockage that may be in our hearts. We may not even realize it. 7 days, 70 times, write those things out. And then the next 7 days, write down 70 things you would like to celebrate or replace or experience it with. Likewise, if you clean a house out, you have to replace it with something, because what? 7 more demons will come in and possess that place. So after you write out those 70 things that you want to forgive, that you're inspired to forgive, then next 7 days is celebration. That's us going around that Jericho wall and watching it tumble down. So that's an activity that we can do to promote forgiveness as a gift to our heart. Why do we do it? It's the washing process. Spiritual beings having a human experience, that's why we have to remember our baptism. Can't get away from it. The water, water. It's always nearby, isn't it? It washes and cleanses, purges and perfects, renews and restores, and heals and completes us. The waters are the ultimate exchange of humanity for Christ's divine spirit that's within us, and that's what empowers us to guard our heart. That's why every time I get ready to close out, I remind us about our baptism. Nobody has to remind us to take a bath or drink water. But what is that thing, 1%? Remember your baptism and remember this. The water goes. The Spirit, the water goes where our humanity and consciousness cannot. So when it comes down to that forgiveness activity, when you choose to start doing it, just remember the water goes where my mind and heart, even my ability to forgive, cannot. So call on the waters of baptism. This is how 1%, these are just some ways we can become 1% more spiritual. God is good, isn't he? It doesn't really take much. It really is easy when you think in terms of 1% and who we are. So if this word has touched your heart in any way, and you are moved, and you feel, touched by something that the Spirit has said today, maybe you want to rededicate. You don't have to come down, but whatever you need at this point in your life, to get to that 1%. Let's just take a few moments of silence here. I love the silence. That will help you to be 1% more spiritual as well. Let's just breathe in. And this is an example of being still and knowing that God is God. In your heart or out loud, just repeat after me. Our Father, thank you for knowing what we need when we need it. Thank you for drawing us to you. And right now, I commit my life to you. I give my heart to you. My storage is empty. My heart is available to you. And so right now, I ask you, please forgive me. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thine has died. Draw me nearer to thy precious bleeding side, to your heart. We ask for and we repent for, and we ask forgiveness for any and all things that we have done. Right now, we make the commitment to you, knowing that you are what matters. Right now, we make the commitment to you, knowing that it is you who guides us, who keeps us, who empowers us to truly guard our hearts. We thank you for the waters of baptism. We thank you for being the bread of life so that we may be able to eat and be sustained spiritually as we go through the physical aspect of our life. And we joyfully receive the love that you've been giving all day, every day. Thank you with every beat of our hearts. Thank you for clearing, healing, and putting us on this journey so that we may guard our heart with all diligence and wash and watch the issues melt away. For it is in the name of the one whose heart gave so much for us to be one with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we say thank you. Amen.